Well, Pastor mentioned that tonight is the Hallelujah Party, and I have a little bit more to say about that. If everybody could please listen, that includes the kids, because it's an event that we stage as an alternative to the trick-or-treating that goes on in the world. You know, when I was growing up, it was relatively safe to go trick-or-treating. You dress up. I dressed up as, let me see, what did I dress up as? I dressed up as a cowboy. I dressed up as a beatnik. Anybody remember beatniks? I dressed up as all kinds of stuff. We never, you know, when I was a kid, we never went to the store to buy our costume. We just kind of make it up out of whatever we found in the closet. And we'd go to, you know, the aunts, the uncles, grandparents. And my favorite treat growing up, just in case any of you people want to bless me, but my favorite treat growing up was popcorn balls. Man, yeah, I'm seeing some nods. Everybody loves that. That was my favorite treat, and I knew where to go to get the popcorn balls. And so at any rate, we are having our Hallelujah Party here tonight. And let me just say, I want to encourage everybody to come. Everybody. You might say, well, you know, I don't have any kids. You know, what's there going to be for me? You know, every time that we gather, every time that we come together, regardless of what the purpose is, there's an opportunity for God to do something. There's an opportunity for you to hear a word from a brother or a sister that might just really make a difference in your life. And that happens every time we come together. Are you all open to that? Are you open to letting God speak to you through somebody else that might just be the guy that's sitting next to you in the pew or in the chair or in the row there? So when we come together for a Hallelujah Party, for something that we might think, well, it's just for the kids, you don't know how much life is available there. You don't know how much fun you just might have if you allow yourself just to be a little bit childlike for an evening. And so we want everybody to come. There's going to be all kinds of prizes, all kinds of surprises, and all kinds of games for everybody to play and get involved in. So we do want you to come. Now the theme for this year, it's been voiced, it's been advertised, is that this year it's a Western theme. It's a Western theme. And we're not saying that you have to dress up in a Western motif to come to be a part of the party tonight, but if you want to, that's great. That's great. The more cowboys we have, the more cowgirls we have here tonight, the more fun it's going to be. And as I was considering, you know, the Western theme, I began to think, now, what is it that makes a cowboy? What is it that makes a cowboy? You know, I talked a little bit about what it was like growing up. When I grew up, the TV programs, the superheroes of those days were the cowboys on TV. The Lone Ranger. Anybody remember the Lone Ranger? Anybody remember this one? Cheyenne? Yeah. Anybody remember, this is going a ways back, Hopalong Cassidy?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. We're getting, yeah, this group over here is getting a lot of it. Okay. They're remembering a lot of it. Okay. Anybody remember an old TV show? I don't think it lasted very long. Sugarfoot?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. These shows, and I used to watch them week after week after week, you know, and people would get shot, but you never saw any blood. You know, most of what you saw was people falling off their horse, you know, that kind of stuff. Even though they said, well, we're going to string them up, you never saw that happen, you know. And, you know, they got busted out of jail. They got all kinds of stuff. They jumped off of roofs onto horses and rode off into the sunset. But those were the kind of shows that I used to watch growing up. A lot of Westerns. It's part of our culture. part of Americana, something that's kind of unique to our country, is the whole idea of the Western. And so I was thinking about what is it that makes a cowboy. There was a time that I spent, oh my goodness, back in 1972, all right, before many of you were born, I worked on a cattle ranch out near Abilene, Kansas. Okay? For most of us would think that's out west. And Abilene is a town that you heard of a lot about cattle drives and stuff like that. And these guys were cowboys. I mean, they were cowboys. They'd jump on their horses and they'd go out and take care of their cattle. And so I went out there. I was from Illinois, from the other side of the Mississippi River, and didn't really, you know, have too many cowboys in that neck of the woods. So I went out there to work, and I was just kind of dressed as a farm kid. And I noticed that there's a big difference between me and the cowboys. And so, you know, what part of my job was that I worked for a registered Hereford cattle breeder out there, and we went to all of the state fairs in the Midwest. We went to started at Kansas, then went to Nebraska. I shouldn't have said Nebraska. Okay, but we went there. We went to Oklahoma City. We went to Tulsa. We went to the Kansas State Fair. Went to the Missouri State Fair, of course. Went to the Texas State Fair down in Dallas. And at the Oklahoma State Fair, I'm going to share something here that it's a story my wife has not even heard. So.
Don't share it.
It's not embarrassing for you. But at any rate, we went. There was another group of cow people there. They were from Yukon, Oklahoma, and they had a young girl that was kind of cute, and I was kind of enamored with her a little bit. But she wouldn't have anything to do with me. I just wasn't cowboy enough for her. And so I thought, well, you know, I gotta find out what it is that makes a cowboy. So I got myself some cowboy boots, you know? And I, you know, no, not yet. It's not the boots. And so then I got myself a belt. And there was a time. Well. And it wasn't the belt. Okay, it was not the belt. And down there they rope cattle and stuff like that. So I started to practice. I got myself a lariat, you know, and I tried to do a little roping and stuff like that, but I could never catch anything. You know, couldn't even catch a cold hardly. But so it wasn't the rope. I even got myself, I thought, you know, all these guys, they're cowboys. I remember Gene Autry, you know, Roy Rogers, they all had a kerchief. And so I got myself a kerchief and I tied it around my neck, you know. Am I a cowboy now? No, you're not a cowboy. Well, finally I figured out it had to be the hat. And so this is in Oklahoma City, and I went to Lee's Western Store, made in the USA, 5X Beaver cowboy hat, and I put that hat on, tell you that when I came back to Kansas, I found out something. There's three kinds of sun in Kansas. There's
sunshine, and sunflowers. Then there's those other suns that I'm not going to talk about.
But it was the hat. It was the hat, and that made all the difference to that cute little blonde down in Yukon, Oklahoma. So anyway, if you want to be a cowboy, come on out tonight, dress up, have a little fun. You won't regret it, I promise you. We've been doing this for 25 years. I've watched so many kids grow up going through the Hallelujah Party. It's a memory that they won't forget. Okay? Okay, so much for that commercial for the Hallelujah Party. But today is a holiday. It's kind of a strange holiday. It's kind of a strange holiday. We call it Halloween. And tonight at the Hallelujah Party, I'm going to be talking about what the origins are of that particular celebration are. And so that's another reason to come. Maybe you don't know why we even have a celebration on this date. But one of the things that occurs, and I've already mentioned it, is that kids dress up and they go to door and they go trick-or-treating. Okay? Well, the whole idea of the trick and the whole idea behind tricks is typically there's something that you're trying to get over on somebody, trying to get back at them, trying to upset them, maybe even trying to play a practical joke on them. Does there anybody here that really enjoys playing practical jokes? You like doing that? Do you like practical jokes being played on you? Maybe some of you do. I had one recently played on me. It's been just early this month I had one played on me. There was a surprise birthday party for me, and you know what? I mentioned it that night, but the lies that were told to get me to believe that there was something going on, and you know, I was just clueless. And a big trick, big practical joke on Dave, but it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. But typically, you know, when a practical joke happens, somebody falls for it, and everybody else laughs, and that's the whole idea about it. My wife, every April Fool's, gets me every single time. Every time. I know the next day is April Fool's Day. And I just totally blitz out. I have no clue, and she'll say something or she'll get me to do something, and then as soon as I do it or say it or fall for it, it's April Fool's. And she gets me. And then I'm mad for the rest of the day. But anyway, trick-or-treating. Title of my message today is Trick or Treat. Trick or trick or treat or treat. Say that 5 times quickly. And this is the purpose of my message. This is the purpose of my message, and it's important that all of us listen, especially you kids, okay? This is the purpose of my message. Satan always lies. My purpose is to get you to understand that. I want us to have more of an idea that when we believe a lie, we're falling in line with the plan of the enemy when we believe a lie. The other thing that I want to get across today is the idea that God always tells the truth. Always tells the truth. 100% of the time, God always tells the truth. Okay? Now, for you young people that are coming to the Hallelujah Party tonight, I want you to pay particularly close attention to what I'm about to say, because it will benefit you greatly if you do. Okay? Now, I've already told you what the title of my message is. Okay? Now, throughout the rest of the service today, the words trick and treat are going to be spoken. They're going to be spoken by me, and they're going to be spoken by some folks up here. Okay? It's going to be a number of times that those words are spoken. What you kids get to do is count the number of times that those words are spoken. Okay? And it's not just trick, you know, with nothing. It could be tricky, tricked, tricking, treat, treated. Any form of those words are open to the little contest, okay? Okay, so you count, and parents, this is the honor system here. Okay? Don't want you going, that was number 8. No, don't do that. You know, if your kids can count to, say, 12 or 15 or so, they should be able to participate in this thing. Okay? So all they have to do, and I'm going to tell you when it starts because it hasn't started yet, but all you have to do is listen for those words. And when you hear the word, you make a note of it. You think about it. Now, after the service, what you do, and I didn't get to this, I'm sorry. Borrow a piece of paper or a note from your mom or your dad or somebody sitting around and a pen, and you write your name and the number of times that those words are used. Now, it's a combined. It's not, you know, 14 times for trick and 7 times for treat. It's however many times both of them are used together. You write that down, and then you bring it up here, and you put it in my hat. Okay? You put your name on a piece of paper with how many times those words are used, and then you bring it up here and put it in my hat. Then when you show up to the Hallelujah Party tonight, we will announce who wins, and you will get a prize. Okay? All right, a special prize for those who figure out how many times those words are used during the course of today's message. Okay? One other prize is going to be given, and this, I'll jump back just a little bit. If you are a family, and if your entire family dresses up tonight, okay, we're going to be judging the family who has the best costumes. Okay? So if your entire family dresses up, okay, and you come tonight and everybody's all decked out, okay, not just the kids, but mom and dad too, okay, your family will win a special prize. Okay? Okay, well let's jump into the message a little bit here. We want to show that Satan always lies and that God always tells the truth. Let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of John. We're going to be in John chapter 8. That barely helped. Okay. We're going to start in verse 39 of John chapter 8. It says, "Abraham is our father," they answered. Now, Jesus has been talking to these folks, and he's been talking about Abraham, and he's been talking about that he was sent from God, and that they're not recognizing that, they're not receiving the words that he's telling them. I know you kids are listening. And they say to Jesus, "Abraham is our father," they answered. Then Jesus says, and he says, "If you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your own father does." Then they answered and said, "We are not illegitimate children. The only father we have is God himself." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and now am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. Now listen. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet, because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Now, in this passage right here, as I said, Jesus is talking to these Jewish people here, and they're trying to figure out who he is and what it is that he's been telling them. And he's saying, listen, the Father sent me, and everything that I'm speaking to you is the truth. Everything that I'm telling you is the truth. And if you were someone who believed in the truth, you would be believing what I'm telling you. But you don't. You don't believe what I'm telling you because your father, even though you might think that your father is God or Abraham, your father is the devil. And then he talks about the attributes of the devil, that there is no truth in him, that he is the father of lies, and that it's his nature to lie. Do you know what it means when he says that it's his nature to lie? It means that he can't help himself. It means that he has no choice but to lie. When he first rebelled in heaven and was cast out, he set himself up for eternity as to what his mode of operating was going to be. He's going to tell lies over and over and over and over. And from the first time that he encountered man, lies has been spoken by the devil to try to trick him into believing a lie. To try to trick him into believing a lie. Now, when we talk about tricks, of course, sometimes we think about fun stuff. But I'll tell you, when the devil tricks you into believing a lie, the consequence is just not a little oops. The consequence leads to death. Okay? And so Jesus here is proclaiming that the devil himself is the father of lies, and that by them not believing him, by the Jews not believing in Jesus, they're actually following the person whose nature it is to lie all the time. That's a hard thing to hear. That's a hard thing to hear, especially if you're a people who think that you've built your entire lives on something that's true. And then you're confronted with the truth. And he tells you you're building your lives by following somebody that tells nothing but lies. That's a hard thing to hear. You know, the scripture talks about not only the nature of Satan in this particular verse, but it also talks about the nature of God. And of course, the whole Bible reveals God to us. But in one particular verse here in Hebrews 6:18, if you want to turn there quickly, it talks about God and his nature. Starting in verse 13, of Hebrews chapter 6. It says, when God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Men swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible. Everybody say impossible. It is impossible for God to lie. We who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. It is impossible for God to lie. That is Hebrews 6:18. Hebrews 6:18. If there's going to be a memory verse today, especially for the kids, those few words, it is impossible for God to lie, is something that you kids need to remember. It's impossible for God to lie. Impossible. So when you're reading your scripture and when you're spending time in the Word and you see a promise that God's made, and that promise that he's made takes root in your soul, know that that's the truth. Know that that's the truth for you, and you can hang on to that, because God is not going to lie to you. He's not going to lie to you. He can't lie. Just as in an inferior way, Satan has no choice but to lie, God, in a much superior way, has no choice but to tell the truth, because it's his nature. He is the truth. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, a verse that I know many of us are familiar with, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. So, right here out of the gate, I want us to get this. Satan always lies. God always tells the truth. So, there are many places in Scripture where we can see examples of this very thing portrayed in stories from the Bible. We think of Adam and Eve, when Satan spoke a lie to them and they believed that lie and they were tricked. And then we think of Samson, somebody else, who succumbed to deceit, and it cost him his eyesight by succumbing to deceit and lies. When I say trick or trick, what I want you to understand is this: when we hear the lie and believe it, that's one trick. The consequences that we receive into our life as a result of that lie is another trick. Okay? So we're tricked when we hear the lie and believe it, and then we're tricked again as we live out those consequences of that lie. Conversely, when God speaks to us and we hear the truth and we believe that, it's a treat. Okay? It's a treat. Because God wants to treat us well. Okay? He wants to bless us. And then when we apply that truth, when we apply that truth to our lives, that he's spoken to us or that we've read or that we've heard, we're blessed and we're treated again. Okay? And so there's stories in the Bible that illustrate that. We're gonna portray one here this morning about it's a story I know we've heard many times over the years, a story that you've probably read for many times in your own devotional life. I'll tell you, I've read this story so many times, and every time I read it, I get new truth from it. It's the story of the prodigal son that's found in the Gospel of Luke. And so right now, we're going to portray that, and I want you to welcome with me what are we going to welcome? We're going to welcome Christy Jones as she begins today's episode of Love Never Fails.
Thanks, Dave. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Love Never Fails. With us today are three very special guests. We've heard that story many times, as Dave has said, but today we're going to get a little bit more up and close and personal with these three famous men. But before we get to their story, we're going to take a break, and we're going to have a word from one of our sponsors, Dr. Mike's Cute Baby Lotion.
You know, I've delivered millions of babies in the last 25 years. Everything every single one of these babies have in common is that when they make that first appearance, they're all ugly. I'm not tricking you. I am completely serious. I'm talking ugly. As a doctor, I understand that going through the trauma of childbirth, the last thing a woman needs to see is an ugly baby. After all, the fathers are ugly enough without having to look at a wrinkled, prune-faced little baby. So, right after we wash the newborn, we apply a good amount of my specially formulated cute baby lotion to the entire baby. The transformation is almost miraculous. Here are a few before and after pictures. See the look on Mama's face when she sees that cute little baby. You can purchase Dr. Matt Mike's Cute Baby Lotion wherever fine mules are sold. Back to you, Christy.
Thanks, sweetie pie. Excuse me, I mean Dr. Jones. Well, I am sure the suspense is rising to a fever pitch concerning who these famous men are. Here's a hint. Jesus Christ actually spoke about them. And another hint? Well, two of the men are brothers. I can't keep the secret any longer. No more tricks. With us today are the prodigal son, his older brother, and of course, their loving father. So join me in welcoming, first of all, the older brother, Caleb. Such a treat to have you today,
it's
Caleb.
A treat to be here. Live TV even. Hi, Mom.
Caleb, it's just been a couple of days since your younger brother returned. Can you tell us a little bit about your current relationship with him?
Well, right now it's pretty upsetting. He played my dad and all of us for fools. He tricked my dad into giving him his inheritance. I couldn't believe my dad would just give it to him. Dad didn't try to talk him out of leaving. He didn't even ask him why he wanted to go. And then he left. He took the money, spent it all on wine and floozies and partying. He spent every penny my dad had worked so hard for all those years.
This might be hard for you to watch, Caleb, but we actually have footage of your brother taking the money and spending it foolishly.
G6, like a G6, and now I'm feeling so fly, like a G6, like a G6, and now I'm feeling so
makes me so angry. How could he do How could he do that? He wasn't taught that way.
That is a great point, Caleb. Seeing your brother act like that makes me wonder whether your dad was much of a father. What was it like growing up?
Let me say this right off the bat. My dad was a great father. While his youngest son, what his youngest son did had nothing to do with the way we were raised.
Well, we have another surprise for you, Caleb. We have some additional footage of you and your brother when you were a lot younger. And I'm sure this will bring back some memories. Caleb?
Boy, that was a long time ago. It's hard to believe I used to look like that. But I remember that day like it was yesterday. Dad and my brother and I were going out fishing on a beautiful fall day. Dad used every chance he could to teach us about God. We were no sooner out of the house, and as he walked, he began telling us how we should love God with all our hearts and souls and might, and that we should obey God's commandments because God wanted to bless us and treat us well. Talking about God to my dad. If you're around him for a little while, you just know my dad loves the Lord.
It sounds like you really love your dad.
It's not only that I love him, I admire him. That's why it angers me so much that my brother hurt my dad like he did.
But then your dad...
Yeah, he just forgave him. He welcomed him right back into the family. I just don't get it.
Well, perhaps we can find out how he was able to do that, because right now, let's welcome this dad that we have heard so much about. Mike, come on out here. Great to have you.
Thank you. Hi, Caleb.
Mike, welcome to Love Never Fails.
Thanks, Christy. It's just a real treat to be here.
Well, we've been speaking with your son, Caleb, and he's been sharing a little bit about the recent events in your home. So what we'd like to do is hear your perspective on all that's happened.
Well, I got to tell you, Christy, it's even hard for me to believe what's happened. But God is so good.
Wait a minute, Mike. Is this a trick? My understanding is that your youngest son asked for his inheritance before you actually died, which is a little unusual, just to say the least. Amazingly, you gave it to him. How could you do that?
Well, when he asked, I was a little surprised. But I know my boys, and my youngest son is not bashful. You always know what he's thinking. Because he usually says what's on his mind. For a while, he made no secret of the fact that he wasn't happy in our home. His eyes were always on the horizon, always looking for something he thought was better than where he was or what he had. He wasn't content at home, and to be honest, it was causing a bit of strife around the house. When he finally said he didn't want to wait until I kicked the bucket for his share, instead of arguing or trying to reason with him, I thought maybe God would use this situation as a way to break through to my son.
You almost make it sound like you were happy to see him go. Weren't you afraid something terrible would happen to him?
Well, seeing my younger boy leave was one of the hardest things God ever asked me to do. But Christy, shortly after he was born, his mom and I dedicated that little guy to the Lord. We trusted God to take care of him. We believed he came to us from God. And so if he left, God was still big enough to take care of him. I prayed for my son every day he was gone. I prayed God would break through and do whatever he needed to do to change his life. And he did.
Were you ever tempted to go after him, to find him, or try to talk some sense into him?
Sure, I was tempted. But I turned my son over to God. This is what God told me. If you try to rescue your son, you're interfering in my plan. God told me he knew where my son was, and he would work out his plan so that he would receive the greatest degree of glory. So no, I didn't go looking for him, nor did I send him any more money. If God was at work, who am I to try to fix things?
Caleb, how does that make you feel, hearing your dad talk about his youngest son?
That's the hardest part. I mean, Dad didn't just go to the bank and give his son all that money. We had to sell almost a third of our livestock and a third of our land to do it. There was a lot of work wrapped up in doing all that, but Dad said to do it, so we did it. I was always careful to do exactly what he said. I never expected his son to come back or to ever see him again, so when he showed up, I just figured Dad would kick him out, especially considering how he spent the money.
Caleb does have a point there, Mike. We just happened to have some footage of how your son was enjoying himself with the money you gave him.
I ain't got no money, money.
How does seeing that make you feel, Mike?
Of course it's upsetting to see my son acting like that. But that's not the end of the story, now is it, Christy?
Well, no, but how did you know that, Mike? I mean, you're pretty tricky yourself. We do have another clip, but I'll save that for a little later. Please, go ahead and continue your story.
Like I said, I know my boys. I know what I taught them, and I know my God loves them very much more than I do. I could have allowed Satan to continue to trick me, but accusing me of being a rotten father, I could have allowed myself to be filled with doubt and fear. Instead, I have learned that when Satan is at work, there is nothing but lies everywhere. He tricks to believe the lies, and then he tricks us again as we experience the consequence of the lies. The devil is full of tricks. So I rejected those thoughts and chose to believe God instead. God delivered our people from Egypt, so I knew he could deliver my son from bondage as well.
And now your son has returned.
Yes, God has brought my son home. It's such a treat to have him home again.
Well, let's go ahead and bring him out here. Let's welcome Colin. Well, Colin, you've had quite an experience for some time. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, first thing is, it's such a treat just to be on live TV. Hi, Mom. Okay, is it okay if I say I was a jerk?
No, you can't say jerk.
Okay, I won't say jerk. I was a fool, and I'll admit that.
I'll agree with that one.
Oh, come on, let Colin talk.
Well, I guess everybody knows the story of what happened, but I want to let everyone know why I did what I did.
Sure, I got to hear this one.
Go ahead, Colin. Tell us your story.
Well, from the time I was a little boy, when we'd go out to the market and travel to Jerusalem, I'd see all these other boys just running around. It looked to me like their parents just let them do whatever they wanted. And as a matter of fact, I can't ever remember their parents trying to correct them. Anyway, I always wanted just to go have some fun. But Dad and Mom would always say, "We love you too much to let you go do whatever you want to do." Then as soon as we got home, Dad would take Caleb and me fishing or hunting.
So, did you have fun with your dad and Caleb?
Sure, we had fun, but I always wanted to do what I wanted to do. It seemed to me like those other boys' parents must love them more than mine do, since they could do whatever they wanted.
What do you think now?
I think the devil was just playing tricks on me. It was almost as I could hear him saying, if your dad really loved you, he'd let you do whatever you wanted. I thought I was missing out on something. That thought occurred to me so many times that I guess I finally just believed it.
So you asked your dad for your inheritance?
Yes, I did. I figured if I had all that money, I could live the rest of my life the way I wanted, and nobody could tell me what to do. I was a little surprised he gave me the money, but I guess he figured he was just tired of all the complaining about never having any fun.
So how did your plan work out?
Well, not at all like I thought it would. As long as I had money, it seemed like everybody wanted to be my friend. I was the life of the party as long as I paid the tab at the end of the night.
And then the money ran out, right?
Yep. I spent everything, every penny on things I'm too ashamed to talk about. So when I ran out of money, I tried asking my new friends to help me out, but they pretty much said stuff like, I'm busy or I'll call you next week, and I never heard anything from them.
So, you're a long way from home, you have no money, and you have no friends. Why don't you come home and see if you could get some more money?
The thought occurred to me, but I knew there'd be no way my dad would give me more money if I was just going to foolishly spend it. So there was only one thing left to do, get a job.
Yes, we know. We happen to have a clip of your new job, and so let's take a look.
Oh.
Even at my father's house, the servants have plenty to eat. Here I am feeding pigs. I bet if I go back and tell him I sinned against him and against God, that he'd at least let me be one of his servants.
So, Colin, what was it like to be a Jewish man feeding pigs?
Well, having that on my resume probably eliminates me from ever being on The Apprentice. But God really spoke to me down in those pig pens.
Really? Well, I know we all want to know what God said to you.
Basically, he said it was my choice where I wanted to be. I could continue to live for myself and be a pig peer, or I could repent of my sin and ask for my father's forgiveness. When I realized being with my dad and was really the best life I could have, the choice was easy, so I made my way back home.
You obviously made it back. And now we have some footage of your reunion with your dad.
So sorry, Dad. Please forgive me.
Oh, it's okay, buddy. It's okay. Welcome home.
Wow. And here you are, Colin. You're wearing this beautiful robe, a ring. Everything is just like it used to be, right?
Well, not quite, Christy. Although Dad forgave me and showed me so much mercy, things still aren't right between Caleb and I. I really want that relationship healed.
Caleb, we can be a family again, you know? Could you please forgive Colin, you think?
Dad, all these years I've worked hard for you, never once refused to do a single thing you told me to do. And all that time, you never even gave me one young goat for a feast with my friends. And then when the son of yours comes back after squandering all your money on floozies, you celebrate by killing the fattest calf we have?
My son, I love that you always obey me. But what really pleases me is that you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost, and now he's found.
Caleb, what can I do to show you that I've changed?
Well, how about the next time we go fishing, you clean the fish?
I guess that works. Look at that eagle over there.
What? Oh, tricked me again.
Well, Mike, it appears things really are back to normal.
Oh, all I have to say, Christy, is God treats his kids right. And devil, this trick is on you.
That's right, Mike. Join us again for the next edition of Love Never Fails.
Okay, let's hear it for those guys. Okay, well, throughout that story, you heard a lot about people falling for tricks and believing lies and things like that, and that's really one of the lessons from this story, the story of the prodigal son. When we think about that, let's talk a little bit about the lie that the younger son believed. The lie that the younger son believed. He lived in his father's home. He had access to everything that his father owned. And yet he was not satisfied. He believed the lie that there was a better life for him. He could find more satisfaction outside his father's house. And so he thought, since there's a better life, there's more for me, I can satisfy myself out here, I'm just going to determine and I'm going to decide that I'm just going to make everybody else miserable for as long as I'm here in this place. And so he made no secret of the fact that he wanted to be out, and he finally believed the lie enough and had the boldness to go to his dad and ask for his inheritance. And as was mentioned in the skit, the father just couldn't go to the bank and withdraw a bunch of money, or he didn't have it just laying around to give to the boy. When we talk about the inheritance, we're talking about having to sell resources and assets in order to give that young man what was due him. So they had to sell, in all probability, had to sell some livestock, had to sell some land, and the proceeds from that portion was to go to that son. And so that had to all be taken care of. And if you're the older son and you're watching that, you're thinking, man, I can't believe Dad's doing this. But the younger son believed the lie that there was a better life for him someplace else. I'm tired of this family. You know, if my dad really loved me, he'd let me do what I wanted. If my parents really loved me, they'd let me go out with my friends and spend as much time as I can with them. All my friends get to spend, you know, be out at night and as late as they want. My dad mustn't love me because, or my mom mustn't love me because they don't let me to do just what everybody else is doing. That was the lie that he was believing. And so he finally acted on that, thinking that he was going to reap all these benefits, and for a short period of time, he did. He had a great time in his from his point of view, as he was squandering all that money. Okay? But as we know, sin is pleasurable for a season. And then that death thing begins to work in you. And you begin to get an idea that, you know, it's not so much fun. And it seems like my friends just like me because I've got money. And when he finally ran out of money, he ran out of friends. Finally had to go get a job feeding pigs. The most unclean creature that they could have been exposed to them at that time. And it was during that time when he was at his lowest that God did speak to him and broke through to that young man. And parents, this is a hard thing to hear. When we've got kids that are off doing their thing and you know, we know they're making a lot of poor choices. We understand that they're doing stuff that breaks our hearts as moms and dads. I'm not going to say this exclusively, most of the time, I'm going to say for the vast majority of the time, if you rescue that son, or if you rescue that daughter, if you pull them out of that situation, before God's done doing what he wants to do in them, you're short-circuiting the plan of God. God is big enough to speak to your son, to speak to your daughter in the lowest, in the deepest, in the darkest pit. And if you trust him, he will. He will. And when you know, when God breaks through, and when he's got a grip on their heart, and when he's speaking to them, and they understand the folly of their way, and they turn, you can be sure that that turnabout is exactly 180 degrees. And they come back. That first son believed that lie, that there was a better life for him outside his father's house. The older son believed a lie as well. He believed that his dad loved his younger son more than he did him. And he didn't. He told his older son, he says, you know, everything I have is yours. You could have as much as you want anytime that you want it. It's all here for you. And the thing that I think characterized that older son is that he didn't appreciate that. He didn't appreciate the fact that there was goodness and there was blessing in the Father's house. And young folks, especially those in that adolescent, that 10 up to 18 year range, your father and your mom would do anything for you and have done everything for you. And for you to have an attitude about it's just not enough, or have no appreciation for what they have sacrificed for you, is really, really a shame. So if I have some encouragement for you young people in that way is to appreciate your mom and dad. Be thankful that for what they've done for you. Most of you, until the time you're, I'm just going to say 14, 15, 16, you probably never had to spend a cent on anything that you want. Mom and dad has paid for it. Okay? For the most part, that's true. Hopefully they've instilled a little bit of responsibility in you and you can start to make a little bit of money, spend your own money on what you want. But for the most part, your parents have provided everything for you. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be appreciative of what your parents have done for you. That older son didn't seem to have much appreciation working in him. So the key is here that both sons believe lies. They were tricked big time. And in both cases, they both reaped the consequences of believing that first lie. They were tricked once by believing the lie. They were tricked again when the young son ended up in the pig pen and the older son ended up with bitterness in his heart. That's the way that Satan operates. The father in this story, most would say represents God in most commentaries I've read say that the father figure in the story does represent God. That attitude of coming back, always welcoming, always arms extended, always whose best interest is to bless and to treat his kids right. That's the way God operates. And that's the truth. That's the truth. And our problem is that we believe that that's not the way God operates. We believe lies about God. What are some of the lies we believe about God? We believe God doesn't love me. God doesn't love me. How could he love me? When the scripture is clear that he does. He loves the whole world so much that he gave his only son. We also believe, if God loved me, he wouldn't have let this happen to me. Anybody ever thought those thoughts? If God loved me, how could he have let this happen? You know, again, most of the time, much of what happens to us is a result of our own poor choices. Not saying 100% of the time, but many times we reap what we've sown. And we point our finger at God when we should be pointing it at ourselves. Another thing that we believe is that God will not forgive us. You don't know how bad I've acted. You don't know what I've done. How could you forgive me for what I've done, for the way I've acted my entire life? Listen. God loves you so much, he will forgive you. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that God is faithful and just to forgive your sins if you confess them. If we confess our sins, he is always faithful to forgive us of our sins, all of our sins, and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. He also says in 2 Peter 3:9 that he's not willing for any of us to perish. And so many times we'll sit outside the gate of blessing, refusing to go in, because we have some preconceived idea that God will not forgive or try to restore us back into that position of blessing, when that's exactly what he wants to do. You have to go through the gate. You have to open that gate. You have to step in, and you have to say, God, forgive me. He says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, to that place where you say, yes, all of that is back there. That's all, everything that I did. I forgive me, God, for that, and make me new again and restore me. And he will. 100% of the time, that is a truth. Finally, he says, we might have this idea that nothing good could ever happen to me. It always happens to other people. Nothing good ever happens to me. It's like you walk around with this perpetual rain cloud over your head, and it's just raining on you, and the rest of the world is in the sunshine. You know, the Lord has got so much. He's got blessings at his right hand that he wants to give you. He says, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And then he's got a gift to give you. The Holy Spirit. The greatest gift that you could ever receive. He's got that right there for you. We can't have an attitude that says that nothing good happens to me when he's extended a gift of himself to us. And so today I would just say this. And let me just conclude by reemphasizing what I've said before. Satan always lies. You kids got that? Satan always lies, and it's impossible for God to lie. Impossible for God to lie. So believe the truth about God. Believe his word. Don't allow yourselves to be tricked anymore. I don't know what number that is. We're getting up there. But don't allow that to happen to yourself. Don't allow that to happen. Believe the truth and be treated. Okay? Praise God, Pastor Ron.
What a treat that was. Men, do I count? Why don't we stand together if we could? Treats aren't done. God wants to bless you as you come forward today and will respond to the message of life that we've heard. I want us, if we could, just to close our eyes for a moment. And I want to be very sure that if you have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus, that you have an opportunity to pray towards that end today. Because you're not naturally born into the family of God. You have to be born again to be one of his children. And when you're in his family, he's going to take good care of you. If you've not yet become a member of his family, the good news is that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and he paid the price so that we could be a member of his family. We have sinned, we have all failed God, but he's bridged the gap between us and him through Jesus Christ. And if you'd like me to remember you in prayer today, you've not yet prayed the prayer of faith to to believe on Jesus. Could you raise your hand just between you and I right now, and I'll remember you in prayer later on today. You say, Pastor Ron, please remember me. I've not surrendered to Jesus. I'm very thankful that I surrendered to him many years ago and have not regretted that for a moment. Life hasn't always been easy, but I have found that the Lord is very satisfying. He's given me identity and purpose in this confusing world. If you'd like me to pray for you, just raise your hand today. I'd like to take a moment and invite the younger people up. So let's call it 17 and under. Why don't you come up and stand towards the front, 17 and under. I want to pray for you today. All you kids have been paying good attention. Hopefully. I want you all to gather. Now, here's what I want to say to you kids. I want to say this to you children, to you young people. A lot of different ages here. But I want to give you a message from the Lord. And I want to save you a lot of trouble. There's 10 commandments. Did you know there's 10 commandments? How many commandments are there? There's only one that guarantees a blessing in this life. Now, we should do them all. But the one that guarantees a blessing in this life is when you honor your father and mother. And I heard Mr. Raboyne talk about appreciating your parents, appreciating your father and mother. And they've provided for you very well. They're not perfect. I'm not a perfect dad. But God has given your father, your mother, whoever takes care of you, he's given them as gifts to you. And sometimes we can despise the gifts that God has given us. Sometimes we can think, like Mr. Raboyne was saying, that, oh, my friends get to do this and that, and my parents are too tough on me. And you know what? God has gifted your parents so that they know exactly how to treat you and how to raise you up. And I want you all today to take some time and appreciate your mom, your dad, to thank your mom or your dad for being God's gift to you. Did you know that your dad is God's gift to you? Let me see you nod. Your dad is God's gift to you. Did you know your mom is God's gift to you? Okay. And so I want to pray for you guys right up here today that you'll really appreciate and not cause your mom and dad a lot of grief. Did you know that children can cause their parents a lot of grief? If you don't know it yet, wait till you become parents. I bet you've heard that once or twice. But I want to pray for you today, and so let's just close our eyes if we could. Lord, I beg you for my little brothers and sisters here, that they from a young age would honor their father and mother, that they would appreciate their parents and not be a grief, so that it would go well with them. I pray, God, that each of these would be protected, each of these would know peace, particularly as they are a blessing to their mommy and daddy, to their mom and dad. Help them, Lord, to obey and honor them with all that's within them. Thank you, Lord.